Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Psalms 37:4, we talked about a verse that, again, that I grew up hearing about almost all my Christian life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I never knew what delight meant. So how do you delight yourself in the Lord? I think sometimes people meant, well, it's like, you know, you're all happy in the Lord. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, if we're going to be Christians, we might as well be happy Christians. Amen. That's good advertising. You've seen some people, you look on their face, you're like, oh, no, whatever you got, I don't want. So being a happy Christian, my darling wife, who has a happy look on her face all the time, is all the time talking to me about my resting face. She said, your resting face is not as happy as it should be. But there's a different element of delighting yourself in the Lord, and besides being happy, happy, joy, joy. So let's talk a little bit. But we talked about Solomon last week. Great picture of someone who delights in the Lord. He had a heart for God. You see it as he grew up. He had a heart for God. He gave these huge offerings to God. And that night, God appeared to him in a dream. Said, "What do you want?" And Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, "Would you give me wisdom that I could be a good leader?" You know, I think that's a great prayer. Wherever your sphere of influence is, ask God to give you wisdom that you could be a greater influence. Say, well, I don't influence anyone. You'd be surprised, but everyone has people that they influence. And so we need wisdom to make sure there were good ones. And so we talked about that wisdom and knowledge, but I want to give another side of delighting in the Lord tonight. And this is really, and I think this makes sense. If I'm delighting in the Lord, I'm honoring the Lord with my life. That my life, I live it so that He is honored. I'm going to read a passage from the book of Isaiah, 58. Don't get hung up on the Sabbath. We'll talk about that in a second, but listen to the principle behind it. This is God speaking to His people. He said, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you, God speaking again, to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's talk a little bit about that, because the Lord has given us some principles. Now, He's talking about the Sabbath. And I know, you know, growing up, I grew up in the South. And in the South, they used to have, especially in the 60s and 70s, they used to have what they call blue laws. Anybody remember blue laws? Blue laws is that there were certain businesses that were not open on Sunday. In fact, a lot of businesses used to shut down on Sundays. And you couldn't buy alcohol. Of course, my parents didn't buy alcohol. We were Shiite Baptist, and you did not buy alcohol. We were serious about that. And so there was no alcohol, but you couldn't purchase it until, I think, after a certain time. I don't know if Texas had the same laws that North Carolina did. And I remember that my mother got really intense about the Sabbath. And she's like, you know, we don't do any work on the Sabbath. And you can't cut the grass on the Sabbath. And which I thought was great, since I was the one that had to cut it. But let me just talk to that, because sometimes people get wrapped up about the Sabbath. Romans 14. This is Paul. He's writing to the church. He said, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. They were getting all caught up in the fact that when a lot of the Gentiles were coming in to Christ, they were not observing the Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath starts at sunset on Friday and ends at sunset on Saturday. So if we really were honoring the Sabbath, it would be a Friday night to Saturday thing. And so it somehow became a Sunday thing. I don't know all the history on that. But it became a Sunday thing, and we begin to call Sunday the Sabbath. Here's the deal. And Paul was saying this. He said, now, some people got really focused on the Sabbath. He said, fine, if you do it to the Lord, fine. Some people are like, no, every day's alike. And so he said, If you do that, do it to the Lord. He said, in other words, he's trying to keep the church from getting all wrapped around the axle around the wrong things. Sometimes people can get all upset. There are people like, you're not going to church on Saturday. You're not honoring the Sabbath. No, listen, we ought to honor God all the time. Sunday is the time that we just take to come, that we use for church. We also use Wednesday night for church. For some of you, this is your Sabbath because you work during the weekends. And that's just one of the reasons we have Wednesday night church, for people who also fill in on the weekends and they have stuff to do. We have people that work jobs that they're not able to come in on the Sabbath. So I think a day of rest is great. I mean, I think that's a great principle, just to have a day where you rest and just don't do a lot. You just recharge your batteries. But don't get caught up in the Sabbath. So we're all good with that, right? Good. So that's... It used to be a bigger deal, like I said, with my mother, mercy. We don't treat the same. He said, now, the principle, though, of honoring God is still the same. We still honor God. Everyone, if I say my pleasure, what do you think of? Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, I remember when Chick-fil-A... Let's go ahead and date me. When Chick-fil-A used to be only in the malls. And it was a new concept. It was only in the malls. This is when the malls were really kicking. And they shut down on Sundays. And you know what they were doing? That they were honoring that day to the Lord. And the fast food industry said, you cannot shut down on Sundays in the malls and make it. Wrong. They've been making it a long time. In fact, I looked up the average annual sales now of a Chick-fil-A standalone is about $9.4 million a year. The average McDonald's is $4 million a year. Of course, Chick-fil-A is twice as expensive, but they dominate. But I believe they did it as a way of saying, we're going to honor God for our employees on Sunday. Amen. My hat's off to them. And God has blessed them. And their food is good. That Chick-fil-A sauce is good. I'm going to tell you something. Those chicken nuggets, you can only eat about 150 of those. They're good. So if you work at Chick-fil-A and you feel like free nuggets for Pastor Allen, I think that's a great idea. All right. Just say it. All right. But here's the deal. The principle of honoring God. So let me give you three things. This is what delight looks like. Not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words. So as you honor him, what do you mean, not doing your own ways? That means looking to do things God's way. What do you mean? Well, when you read the Bible, forgiveness is God's way. Here's God's way, because when people make you mad, God's way is we forgive them. Didn't hear any woos on that either. Yeah, woo. Yeah. Colossians 3:13. No, let's read 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. That's God's way. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now that's God's way. That I didn't say it's the easy way. And I didn't say it always felt good. Listen, you people say, do you always feel like forgiving anyone? No. No. But I do it to honor God. That's God's way. Say, that's honoring him, not doing my way. You know, your way might be, I've heard families say, well, our family, when we hold a grudge, we never get rid of it. That's not God's way. And that's not going to bless you. Holding on to grudges don't keep well. In fact, where I come from, there was a whole entire feud that started between two families. Hatfields and McCoys. Clampets were Beverly Hillbillies. Get them confused. story about a man named Jed. But that's forgiveness is God's way. Giving is God's way. The world says, hang on to everything you've got. God's way said, give and it shall be given to you. That's God's way. Woo. Sexual purity is God's way. I had some, thank you for those woos. They were unprompted, unprompted woos. That's pretty good. I remember having a couple that came down and asked me if I'd pray for their relationship. And I just asked them, I said, you guys married? And they said, no. And the guy ducked his head and the girl bowed up. Man, I thought for a moment, I'm like, where's the security? I thought she was going to come after me. I said, look, we're not condemning you, but you want God's blessings, just do it His way. And she just looked at me. She said, that's not how I was raised. And I said, sweetheart, I said, I understand that. I said, but that doesn't change the Bible. And so sexual purity was God's idea. I remember when Joy, that's not easy either. I remember when Joy and I were dating before we were engaged. We had to come up with new rules. You know, we had to no kissing when we're just lying on the floor watching television. Yeah, I know y'all think she's Mother Teresa, but she ain't. We had to come up with a timeout rule. It's like, let's say, well, weren't y'all Christians? Yes, but you still have flesh. And your flesh is not like, stay away from her. Your flesh, wants what it wants. And before I was a Christian, I wasn't operating in God's ways. Joy was. But we just came up with the rule. Here's the rule. Wasn't easy, but we did God's ways. And what it did was, we're not just doing it just to be martyrs. We're doing it to honor the Lord. And before we got married, we just wanted to honor Him. Now listen, if you've made mistakes, if you've messed up in that area, there's no one condemning you. Just get forgiveness. If you're living together and you want to make it right, listen, I'll have you married in about 10 minutes. It will not take long. It'll be meaningful. It'll be special. And I will do it for free. It won't cost you anything but the license. That's all. Now, we're not here to condemn you. We're here to get you blessed. Some of the prettiest weddings I've ever done have been up in that prayer room by couples who came in because they wanted to honor God. That's the only reason. They said, we've been living together for years. We want to do it God's way. And some of them have brought tears to my eyes because you can just see the sincerity of heart behind it. Honor Him, not doing your own ways. Number two, honor Him, not seeking your own pleasure, finding your own pleasure. It's not all about our comfort or convenience. I'll read this, won't have time to go into it. But Galatians 5, 22 and 20 through 24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we live in a world where this is something we have to do. And we just have to say no. And the Bible talks about crucifying the flesh. That's not pleasant, but it honors God. Remember, we're talking about delighting in the Lord. Not just, oh, I love you, Lord. It's, I'm going to live my life in such a way. Amen. Now, lest you think that anyone is perfect and you're not, there is no one who is perfect. All of us are in different stages of growth. And so, boy, if you're new to this and this is brand new, listen, jump in, learn, grow, and you're going to find that it's like some of the things that bothered you are kind of like leaves dropping off a tree. You ever see like a tree after the winter has come, but there's still a few dead leaves hanging on the tree? Ever the leaf is gone. You'll stay with the Lord. Some of those leaves that have bothered you just continue to drop off. Amen. And don't get caught up in that. Stay in the game. You mess up, get forgiveness, get back up and get going again. I know you, listen, there's no one perfect, no one. And everyone you think is a perfect Christian isn't. And I know you're thinking of Joy right now and you're thinking that she's perfect and you know, and she'll be the first to tell you that she's not. We're all learning, we're all growing. Don't get discouraged. And last one is not speaking your own words. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, or that means building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. But now these three are challenging. God's ways, learning how not to give in to our flesh. All these things are challenging. Not speaking our own words. I was thinking of, say, well, what do you mean I can't speak my own words? Whatever comes to my mind, I speak it. Unless you have the mind of Christ, it's probably not going to bless everybody. But one of the things, I had a vehicle one time. I think it was a Tahoe or something. And I was down toward Bay City in that area, in those rice fields, just flat. And I just decided to see what it would do. All law enforcement agents, I just need you to do this right now. So I floored it. It had a big old V8, and it got up to about 100 miles an hour, and it wouldn't go any faster. I'm like, something's wrong with this car. Something's wrong with this vehicle, man. I backed off again, floored it again, got up to about 100. I know this is like, wow, you're a law-breaking pastor. Like I said, no one's perfect. But what I found out later was it has a governor on it. And the governor keeps it from going as fast as I wanted it to go. It kept it from going over 100 miles an hour. I don't know, do they still do that with yes. vehicles? Yes. You're that guy, yes. Yeah, they do. But here's the thought. Because I want to honor God, I begin to put a governor on my mouth. And so instead of saying everything I want to say, I don't. I hold back. And if you begin to do that, then you'll do what we just read about. Don't let any corrupt word come out of your mouth, but that which is good. So you put all these things into practice, not doing your own ways, finding your own pleasure, speaking your own words, putting all these things into practice. The Bible said God will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. He said, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. I think we need to understand God is not opposed to us being exalted. In fact, in the book of 1 Peter 5, it said, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And really, if you think about it, this is what we're talking about here. By saying, God, I want to honor You with my life. I want to do Your ways. God, I want to not do just what pleases me, not just what pleases my flesh. I want to crucify that, and I want to honor You that way. God, I want to honor You with my words. What we are doing is we're humbling ourselves before God. Humility is not walking around like someone slapped you. Humility is saying, God, I acknowledge You as greater, and I acknowledge Your ways as greater. I'm going that way. And so when you begin to go, they said, if you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It didn't say we have to humble ourselves under everybody else. We treat each other with humility, but I humble myself as unto the Lord. I treat you good because I do it as unto Him. And He exalts us in due time. He's not opposed to us being exalted. He just doesn't want us exalting ourselves. And if he exalts you, well, that's a good deal. So does that give you another picture of delight? Give you a better picture of delight? So let me wrap it with this as we talk. Here's the last verse of the psalm, Psalm 37:5. Said, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And that really is trusting God with your life. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. This is very similar to the prayer of consecration that Jesus prayed in the garden. Luke 22, Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it's Your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Aren't you glad Jesus prayed that prayer? That's a prayer where He was committing His ways to the Lord. He said, but this is going to be hard, but I'm committing my way to you. He said, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Just to note, I won't have time to go into it. You don't end every prayer with it, if it be your will. You don't end every prayer with that. If you're praying for wisdom, for example, in James, first chapter, James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Well, there it is. With no doubting. I didn't know we had it. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So he said, but let him ask in faith. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So that's asking for wisdom, but it's not saying, Lord, give me wisdom if it be your will. It's saying, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. So here's the thing. It's the will of God for us to have wisdom. So asking in faith means I'm not praying, Lord, if it be your will, give me wisdom. What I'm praying is, Father, I know it's your will that I have wisdom, because you said if I lack it, that I could ask you. So I'm asking you for wisdom, and I thank you for it. See, the prayer of faith says, I believe I'll receive that before I can see it and feel it and touch it. That's a different prayer. See, the prayer of if it be thy will is a great prayer where you really don't know what the plan of God is. You've got a job offer. It's in Waco. And so you're praying about it. And you're saying, Lord, I want your will here. Your will be done. I'm committing my way to you. I want your will. I really don't know what I need to do here. What is your will? Joy prayed that prayer before she had a guy that had they were like engaged. And Joy got to the place where she said, I prayed, Father, in fact, his name was Will. She said, not my will, but I want your will. Aren't you glad God understands when we get it? He's like, yeah. And they actually broke up 2 weeks after that. And as Joy looks back on it now, that was the right will. And it didn't take her now. She said that was the plan of God. And so when it comes down to determining what's God's plan, this is when we pray that prayer. Commit your way to the Lord. And he will, so Lord, I'm committing this to you. And that's just a whole lot better prayer. Now listen, committing does not mean that you absolve yourself of all responsibility. For people say, I'm just giving it to the Lord. I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to give it to the Lord. Well, I think there's some things that you can give to the Lord. But we still have some level of responsibility with what we do. And so I've heard people say, you know, I'm just having so much trouble with my kids. I just give them all to the Lord. But if they're in your home, you still got to raise them. And so the Lord ain't going to raise them for you. He will help you. And I know a lot of us were like, I would like for him to take all of them, but that's still we still have a level of responsibility there. So committing your way to the Lord, then again, this is finding the will of God for your life. Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 6 is a well-known verse that kind of goes right in line with this. We know the first part. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The next one is, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so acknowledging him in our ways. This is how we get our paths directed. So when we're asking, Lord, where you want me to go? What do I need to do? You're starting to acknowledge him, and he'll direct you. Now, don't look for a flaming scroll. Don't look for a voice thundering. But a lot of times he can just let you know in your heart, and you have a sensing of where to go. Sometimes you can hear someone say something and you go, oh, there's my answer right there. And God has a lot of ways. If our heart is to acknowledge him, he can get the answer to us. So don't get hung up on that. All right, I think we wrapped it up. Why don't you bow your heads with me? If you're here this evening and said, Alan, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord. I'm not confident, but I'd like to be. Or this evening you're here and you said, you know what, I used to have a relationship with the Lord, but I know I've gotten away from him. And I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front. That's not our purpose here. But the purpose is to help you make that connection. And so his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If that's you and you say, you know what, I want to come to the Lord, or I want to come back to him, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up just across the auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand and you wanted to, you can still pray this prayer with us. Obviously, if you're online, I can't see you. But you can pray this prayer. If you're by yourself, pray it. Pray it out loud. We're going to pray it as a church family. And you pray it out loud with us. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Heads are still bowed. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you for those who've come to you and those who've come back. Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace towards us. Thank you that we can live lives that honor you, that we delight in you. And Lord, thank you that you delight in us. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.